Bless you.
All right, brother. I just want to make sure everyone can hear me now, hopefully. Would like to ask that you continue to pray for us. It's a time we are here and with you. We want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you. I've been the beneficiary of a lot of the services. I don't get to catch them all the time, but I do go back and watch them as far as the recordings go on most occasions. So it's been a blessing to me to be a part of that and partake in it. And now I ask that you pray for me as a time that I attempt or try to preach. If I follow the impressions of my mind right now and begin to take the tapestry of the Lord's word and begin to grab a thread and begin to pull it, I know that the end of that thread is going to end with the view of the Lord Jesus Christ and him being lifted up high and mighty upon his throne. That's my hope. That's my prayer as I begin to try to bring something to you that might be edifying to the church and might be edifying to you as a child of God. We find in Ecclesiastes 3 that Solomon writes that there's a time for all things under the sun, and two of those things that he mentions is a time to keep and a time to cast away. I want to focus in tonight, if the Lord being the matter, I want to focus in on both of those times that we see. Mostly, I want to focus on that time of casting or cast. As we go to the Bible, we find that that word is used many times, probably over 400 times in the Bible, if I had to guess. And each time it typically means something different. What I mean by that is if you go to the Old Testament, at least one time, it's going to mean that there is a some metal that is heated up and poured into a form. That metal is cooled down and then takes the form in which it was placed in. And that's called casting. Old timers used to say things like cast iron skillet. It used to tell you how it was made, what it was made from, and what it was. I kind of wish we'd go back there. That's kind of hard to get that information out of anything today, but you get the point and the picture. There's also pictures in the Bible in terms of casting as well. As I grew up as a child, of casting a rod and reel, and casting a net and expecting something on the other side. If you go to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is calling his apostles, he told them to cast their nets on the other side of the ship. And through obedience, they got a very, very good catch. Now, some orders will take that and use that as a eternal text and begin to try to preach from an eternal perspective. We know, and I am thankful that the Primitive Baptists know that that is not the case. There's a few lessons that are in there, and I don't have time to preach on all of them. But the one thing, or actually two things that I want to bring to light out of that casting there is the fact that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is showing that all things have been placed under his feet, that he was in fact supreme, that he was sovereign, as well as that there is a blessing from God in obedience. We see that in all of his commandments, especially we're told even in the New Testament, children, obey your parents or honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. There's a blessing in obeying God. Now, we know that as Primitive Baptists because I trust that even at Union that you guys are obeying the Lord's command to meet, to not to let those things slide that we're called to do, even in the service of God. Especially in knowing how to act in terms of inside of the service and inside of the house of God. Judgment should begin at the house of God, and I suspect that's the case there. There's a blessing in that obedience and a blessing in obeying the commandments of the Lord. There's also some casting into that's found in the Bible as well. If you look at Daniel, the book of Daniel, you're going to find that there's three little Hebrew children, and I'll just use their Babylonian names there, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were cast into the fiery furnace, and those things bring to mind that they were cast into a furnace that was heated over seven times hotter than any furnace around, and even those individuals that were going to cast them in, they were burnt up, and not even a hair on their heads from those children of Israel were singed. Even their clothes were kept intact. And we know that The fourth man was in there with them, praise God. Now, there's also the picture of Daniel being cast into the lion's den. Now, each one of those two particular uses of the phrase and the concept of casting something in, there's no real thought of that which is cast in. In other words, if I cast it in, there's no expectation that it's coming back out. There's no expectation that I'm going to get anything out of that. And we find that those men that were being cast in there, they had a different opinion about things. They knew that God could deliver them either by the fire, through the fire, or by the lions or through the lions as well. And God did so and showed forth that he could produce something even when somebody else thought that there was nothing to it. Now, those men got to see the blessing of God even though someone cast them out or push them away into a position to where they were about to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and yet the Lord was with them and delivered them. There's also that picture when you come to Matthew, I believe it's, or maybe Mark chapter 12, if memory serves me correctly. The Lord Jesus Christ is watching over the treasury. He is watching as people go by and cast money into the treasury. And we find that there was some folks that came by there, and they were giving quite a bit of money. And then there was this old poor little widow that came by, and she just gave a farthing, two little mites. The Lord Jesus Christ was telling his disciples there and even explained to them a little bit, expounding on that idea, that she had cast more in than all of them combined because she had cast in everything she had. And she didn't expect anything back from it, brother. I truly wish that I could get that in myself and in my mind and myself, that when I put something forth for the church or the things of God, that I don't need to be expecting things back. I don't need to expect other than what God has told us that he would do, and that is that he would honor his word. In other words, he's not obligated to bless me to preach. He's not obligated to bless the church other than the promises in which he's given us in obedience. Now, he can surely and has in times past chastise if he chooses. Now, I have come to, in my older age, love the fact of chastisement and seeing chastisement because it is proof positive that, in fact, I am a child of God. And he doesn't chastise other people's children, you know. So I've come to love that in and of itself. But it's better to be blessed through obedience and not have to deal with the chastisement. That's just a logical conclusion and one that we need to understand. Now, this poor widow, as she cast that in, that was all of her living. That was everything that she had. I suspect that even something to eat or something to drink was coming up into question because she had cast all that she had. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked down on that widow and what she gave and took notice of it. He didn't mention anything else that those folks gave other than the fact that they had given in their abundance. I suspect many of us have been guilty of giving in our abundance. You know, I've got enough to give this week and still make it throughout the week, so I'm going to give that. The Lord doesn't talk down about those folks. He just points out the fact that they gave out of abundance. I suspect if we want the true blessing, if we want a better blessing, a deeper blessing, that we should think about doing what this widow woman did, and that is to be able to let go and give and cast out, drop it, throw it in there without looking for something in return. That would be a great thing for the child of God to do. But we also find another concept of casting away or casting out in the Bible. If you go to over to Romans chapter 11, you're going to find that Paul is going to ask the question. He's going to anticipate a question from the readers of his letter. He was writing to all those that had been scattered about in Rome. And you have to understand the context of time right now. This is during Nero, or right before Nero's power. And there was much persecution for the child of God and the church. And as we think about that, we think about and compare our lives today, we just don't have that much persecution going on. I mean, these folks were putting their lives on the line just by mentioning the name of Jesus. Not only that, but they were having all of these new truths brought out to light and brought to them in a manner that was being preached to them. We have the benefit of what happened, the historics of it, as well as the letters from those apostles, and it's been preserved by God for us to learn and understand. And through understanding, he gives us the light of his son, Jesus Christ, through those things. These folks are hearing and experiencing these things for the first time. So much so that as Paul is preaching to them through this writing and explaining to them that not all of the folks that are in Israel are of Israel, that there is in fact a spiritual Israel that includes not only the Gentiles as a whole, but even the Greeks. There is no longer bond or free. There is only Jesus Christ. That is has to be or had to be a very epic truth at the moment, and one that was earth-shaking too. So much so that even the Jews or the Jewish ones that were now believers, Paul anticipates the question, has he cast out his own people or cast them away? Now, I love Paul's writings, and I like the fact that when he asks a question, he doesn't leave any room for you to mess it up or for me to mess it up. He goes ahead and answers the question. And he tells folks right out of the gate, God forbid, God has not cast out his people or cast them away. Not the true Israel in terms of the spiritual Israel, not even from the perspective of natural Israel to some regard. Now, I'm going to pause there because I know how some orders are about this, and I want to clarify. I'm a firm believer that we need to support Israel, but we need to do so when they're right. We don't need to support them when they're wrong. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Shane? Well, there are places right now today where you cannot go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be escorted out of there, and you will be asked to leave. As a matter of fact, there are some Zionists over there that are already talking about the fact that Christians should be stoned if they are preaching in the manner in which we present Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Now, I can't support that. I have to preach the gospel and just let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. But I don't support that. I support the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, in fact, who he said he is. But I also know that God Almighty has not cast his people away. Now, in this regard of persecution, I want to take you over to Hebrews chapter 10 as well. When you get to Hebrews chapter 10, you're going to find that Paul is also writing to some folks that are left in Jerusalem. These believers that are left in Jerusalem, I want you to understand, have undergone a lot of persecution as well. I mean, to the degree that they can't do business with anyone. How would you like it to go get your food at the supermarket and the person at the aisle tell you that we can't serve you, we know you're a Christian, and we're not going to do business with you? That would be kind of harsh. It would be hard to live in. This is one of the reasons why the new church lived in a communal aspect. It is, I'm glad they did, because we still, as Primitive Baptists, partake in some of that in terms of the unity and the closeness that they had. But these individuals had to endure even their belongings being taken and plundered. Now, I don't so much know that I could endure that so much these days. I get a little touchy when people start touching my belongings. But these brethren, they had to see this, endure it, and Paul even gives them credit for it. If you go over to Hebrews 10, you're going to find that Paul is going to give them a commandment. And I believe, even as we go through this day and age, it's a good commandment for us to remember as well. He tells them to cast not away I'm going to have to go get it, brother. He says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He's telling those brethren, he's going to remind them, brethren, in the day of your enlightenment, as you became enlightened, you didn't worry about being ridiculed. You didn't worry about your things being plundered. You were enlightened. You were ready to suffer for Christ's sake. And now this time has passed and you've endured all this suffering, and now you're getting frustrated. He reminds them, if you back up there, he reminds them of the scripture that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That vengeance is coming. He tells them later, this is in 64 AD, right before Vespasian gives Titus the command to go in and just destroy Jerusalem, not one stone left upon another in terms of the temple. And I want you to understand that this is a very very important time in these believers' lives. When that occurred, over 1,200,000 Jews were killed in less than 4 months. I mean, this is a huge ordeal. And Paul is going to encourage them, but he's also going to give them that commandment. Don't cast off this confidence that you had. Don't cast it away. Don't push it away. Now, one of the things that just really did intrigue me and draw me to the Primitive Baptists is the fact that Primitive Baptists preach and teach, as Paul did, that we don't take any confidence in the flesh. There's no confidence that we have in Brother Shane or Brother James or Brother Mickey. There's no confidence in any of the deacons from that perspective or the believers themselves. All of the confidence sits and resides upon the head of our church, the head of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ himself. That's where our confidence resides. I'm confident, even to the degree that just like Paul, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Our confidence is even from now all the way until we are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and that confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is telling these believers, even though you're enduring much suffering, even though you're enduring your things to be plundered and taken away from you and just discharged amount of the public and your social aspects being downtrodden and downgraded, keep the confidence. Don't cast it away, this confidence that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's something there. There's a reward that you have to look forward to. Not only in heaven in eternal glory, but even right now, our storehouse in heaven, we're storing up treasures and we're storing up things that we can draw down from. Our experiences, even as we exercise our faith and our faith grows in obedience, as we grow in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're walking and growing, we begin to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us through all of those trials, all of those tribulations. Not because that we're good, not because we deserve him to be there, but just because he said he would do it. That's where our confidence lies. All the way through, even from the perspective of being able to, as 1 Peter says, casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. That is a beautiful commandment as well as a promise, if you notice. Peter's telling you, if you will take all of your cares and cast them, not as though you're casting a net and going to retrieve it and pull it back, but that you cast those cares upon him. All of your cares in life, all of your worries, your concerns. Maybe you've got a child and you're worried about that child and their walk in the world or the walk in the church. Cast that care upon the Lord. Maybe you're worried about where the next paycheck is coming from your medicines all the way to the bills and the light bill. Cast those cares upon the Lord. Now, he doesn't tell us that he's going to take those things away from us. He never, throughout the Bible, promises us a rose garden, so to speak. We had a garden, and Adam messed that garden up, brethren. He hasn't promised us a rose garden. He's promised that we will have trials, we will have tribulations, but he's promised that he would walk with us and he would be with us. And as Peter tells us, that we can cast those cares upon him, throw them on him, not looking for something in return or not looking to go back and pick them up. Brother Shane has a bad habit of casting those cares on him. But as soon as I say amen, I want to pick them up and hold on to those cares myself. I hope you don't have that problem. And I trust that you're praying about that and you pray for me that I don't continue to do that. But not only that, we look at the perspective of casting things off and as a commandment, we also have a commandment to cast some other things off and put something on. One of the most beautiful things that I find about the Lord Jesus Christ is in his commandments, he takes away, but then he gives you something. I was told many years ago, and one of the things that I overheard Brother James' dad say, he was quoting someone else. I can't remember who it was. But he made mention of not taking down or tearing down someone's house without building them another one so they can move in. He was talking about doctrinally and doctrine discussions, if you will. And I think that is a very good truth and a very good wise counsel to do, because I find that the Lord Jesus Christ does that. The gospel does that. The gospel will tear a man down, ground him into powder, explain that he is absolutely a sinner, just a poor old wretched sinner, dead in trespasses and sin, and then turn around and build him back up and tell him, yes, but Jesus loves you. God loved you, and he loved you so much that he sent his own son to die for you. What a beautiful picture that is. And this commandment that we're given to cast some things off and to put some things on is much the same way. If you go over to Romans again, and I'll close with this. I know what time it is, and I know the ball games are coming or maybe on, so I'll hurry. I'll close with this one. Romans in chapter 13, we find that Paul again is writing. He explains what love is and love worketh and what it doesn't work. And in that, at the end of it, he gives us a command. Verse 10, he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you didn't notice, he tells us to take off or cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Why? Because Paul knew even in that day and in that time that the time is at hand. The night is far spent, brother. And if it was far spent in Paul's time and day, I suspect it's even further spent in our time. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. His time is coming. And I am excited about that. I can look back to my youth. I used to look at the days of the cowboys and Indians and want to live back in those times. But I know now, as an older man, and I look at the scripture, I understand now is the time to be living. Now is the most exciting time that you can live, because his return is imminent. It's coming. It could be any day. And we look to that, and we look to that with joy and with peace and with comfort. Keeping those things, holding on to the things in which we've been taught, just like that armor of light, and casting off the works of darkness. I hope and pray that something that has been said here tonight is a blessing to you and something that will help you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, I'll turn it back over to you.